Switching gears now, you're going to hear my interview with Mark Voger, author of Monster Mash. It's subtitled, The Creepy, Kooky Monster Craze in America, 1957 to 1972. According to Mark, those years marked the beginning and ending of a unique period. In the late 1950s, when many, if not most, American homes had a television set, the networks and independents needed content to fill airtime. The movie studios were more than happy to oblige by leasing packages of older films to television stations for broadcast. There were packages of musicals, packages of comedies, and perhaps most important for kids, a package of vintage horror films, including Universal Studios' original Frankenstein, Dracula, and Wolfman series. A whole new generation was exposed to these films, and their interest was exploited by the makers of toys, games, model kits, comic books, and other merchandise. The craze also spawned two mid-1960s TV series, The Munsters and The Addams Family, and later in the decade, the horror soap opera, Dark Shadows. I spoke to the author, Mark Voger, about his interest in monsters and how he created Monster Mash.
I've got to tell you, I'm very impressed with your book. It's just a feast for the eyes from cover to cover. What brought about the idea to produce this book?
Well, thanks for your interest, Larry. I've always loved monsters since I was a kid. And when I was born in 58, so by the time I was four or five, monsters were everywhere. If I walked into a drugstore, you know, with my mom, there were monster trading cards, monster magazines. If I walked into what passed for a department store back then, there were monster model kits. I couldn't read yet, so I would pick up these boxes of the model kits of, you know, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, and it just seemed, I didn't know what a model kit was, so it just seemed to me they were selling monsters in a box. And it had really cool artwork on the cover, paintings and color of these really garish monsters, but I couldn't look inside because they were sealed in cellophane, which only heightened the mystery. And then the first monster movie I ever saw, finally, was Selling Me Frankenstein. And then I was spoiled out of the box because this one movie had Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman, and played by Bela Lugosi, Glenn Strange, and Lon Chaney Jr. So they looked like the model kits come to life or the magazine covers come to life. And I just thought, oh, wow. Like I was hooked, and I still am.
Well, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is certainly one of my favorite movies of all time as well. It's just a great, fun movie. But what brought about the whole monster craze? Because you actually list the years of the craze between 1957 and 1972. Was it the release of those great classic movies to television? Was that what brought about the craze?
That's what did it in a big way. That was the big bang, Larry. But there had been some things before that, like 10 years before that, monsters were in a slumber. There hadn't been any classic new movies about the classic monsters since Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein in 1948. Most of the monsters you saw were giant bugs that were attacking entire cities and
sure.
were fought off by the army. So the kids that saw these, you're referring to the shock package by Screen Gems of 52 horror and horror-ish films that were released to television for the first time, the kids were seeing them for the first time and their jaws just dropped. They'd never seen Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, and one station reported more than 1,000% increase in ratings from the previous week. So that was the first, you know, true sign that there was money in monsters and that the kids wanted this stuff.
And those movies really hold up. I mean, they're very atmospheric, and it's really a wonderful craft of storytelling. I mean, they hold up today. I was watching them at Halloween and enjoying some of these, you know, Son of Frankenstein and so on. Is that part of the appeal to kids, that they're so eerie and they just draw the viewer in?
Absolutely, Larry. You mentioned Son of Frankenstein, for instance, 1939, which is called Hollywood's greatest year. This was a true product of Universal Studios, the studio system. Basil Rathbone as the title character, Wolf Frankenstein. Boris Karloff playing the monster for the third time. Bela Lugosi, best known as Dracula, but here playing Igor, the mad shepherd with the broken neck. They don't make movies like this anymore, and they absolutely hold up, and there are fans of these movies yet unborn.
What is the story about the Aurora model kits? You have some wonderful artwork here of the Aurora models of Dracula and these classic monsters. How did Aurora tap into that? Was there reluctance on their part at first to think that this kind of a model kit would fly with kids?
Well, absolutely. As I said, there was many parents and clergy and educators and the politicians who sought their vote looked down upon monsters. They thought that monsters would give their kids nightmares. They thought that monsters sometimes were false idols that glorified the occult. So Lavora was very reluctant to do this. They had specialized in airplane kits beginning in 1952, but they were looking to branch out. And they did their first ever readers poll, and the answer came back monsters. And so they tried it with one kit. The kit was Frankenstein, and they soon found that they had to for a while run 24-hour shifts at their factory in West Hempstead, Long Island, to keep up with the demand. So, and this was the first another huge sign that that monster toys were there was money to be made here. So that after the Aurora kits came out, then you had all kinds of things: board games, puzzles, comic books, magazines. The flood of merchandise.
I've got to take my hat off to Aurora for the artwork on those boxes. And you've talked with many of the artists involved with creating Aurora and other toys and other products. How did they come up with the idea? Was it from movie stills? Because they're really colored and exciting images of images that we would have seen in black and white on television.
Definitely, Larry, and that's one of the things. The artist who painted most of those, the Aurora boxes in particular, was a gentleman named James Bama, who's still with us, and he's actually a very famous artist, not necessarily for the monster kits, but he's considered America's great delineator of the Old West, on a par with Norman Rockwell. If you can picture paintings of the prairie and of Indians with lined faces and detailed feathers, and he's the guy that does that very, very, very much Americana, But he says that the world can come to an end, but the Aurora Monster model boxes will last forever. And of course, he says that with chagrin, but he's absolutely right to us, to the kids that loved this stuff back in the '60s. This was art to us. This was like this belonged in an art museum. And he thinks that they're so popular and enduring because they were in color. Because that the monster movies were all in black and white, and he says for the first time you were seeing them in color. Actually, Famous Monsters magazine predated the Aurora kits, but this time these kits were in stores, so it really was the first time for many of these children that they were seeing the monsters in color.
And what a great opportunity for kids to have an activity. I mean, this was something they had to come all these various parts and they could piece them together, and it was not your standard, like you said, the airplanes or the cars and the things that had come before them. I mean, this was something really creative in terms of painting. You've got a skeleton with ripped clothes, and you've got witches, and you've got all of these various pieces, and it certainly gave children something to use with their imagination.